Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Well, if memory serves, it's been more than 16 months since we've done this with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Our regular weekly interviews with her on Teaching a Sunday School Lesson were brought to a kind of abrupt halt a little bit more than a year ago. And from that time, we've always hoped to restart them. It's exactly what we're doing today, restarting our Teaching a Sunday School Lesson series that goes on and on with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Today, we're going to be in the book of Timothy, where young Timothy is taught all the way from infancy, St. Paul says. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And by the time Paul gets around to writing to him, he is a young pastor. But is the book of Timothy, and the second book of Timothy, and the others that follow with it that seem so much like it, are they only four pastors? We'll answer that question here in the remainder of this hour of Issues, etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of August. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. It's great to be back. A great day of rejoicing for me.
Do you think we still remember how to do this?
I don't know. I feel a little shaky. We'll just have to step in the water and try it out, I guess.
I think you're going to be fine. A lot of people have read through 1st and 2nd Timothy. There are other books that go along with them. Mm-hmm. They focus an awful lot on qualifications for a pastor, what a pastor is to be doing, advice from the apostle to young Timothy, a pastor. And they're very useful for pastors, but pastors alone?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think there's a lot in there for all of God's people. Just in this, you know, coming out of this epistle, you have Paul talking, in 1st and 2nd Timothy, about being above reproach, being sober-minded, respectable, able to teach, well thought of by others, upright, disciplined. Who of us wouldn't want to have those qualities and to live so that people think well of us and trust us, respect us, to be self-controlled, to be hospitable, a good manager of our own households, loving what is good. These are practical words for all of God's people and certainly for pastors who lead God's people through the Word and the sacrament.
Well, without focusing too much on pastors, because there's what we focus on today is Timothy's catechesis, to use the technical term, his upraising of faith. But before we leave the subject of pastors behind, mm-hmm. why is it important that lay people who do not aspire to and never will occupy the pulpit or stand behind an altar know what it is Scripture requires of and expects of their pastors?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. We have to know God's Word, and we have to know what that Word says about those who are our spiritual fathers, our pastors. It's all part of making sure that they are doing and teaching and being what God wants, because if they're not, then they're leading us down a different path, a path of destruction. They've been put over us, put in charge of our spiritual lives, and we're their sheep, they're our shepherds, and so we need to know what's expected of them. Really, sort of a check and balance to make sure that they are doing what God calls them to do for our good and theirs and the good of the church.
Who is Timothy? What do we know about him?
Well, I think we have some knowledge of him as a young pastor. As you mentioned, he was someone who was brought up in the church, brought up in the faith by a very devout mother and grandmother who took their vocation as parent and grandparent very seriously, understanding that in that vocation they were to raise this child up in the way he should go, as Proverbs directs us, to raise him up in the faith, in the church, in the family of God. And indeed, he did grow up in that. That faith was his own, and he was called upon to be a pastor, a shepherd in the church, and officially made that with through the laying on of hands, through the order of the church. And Paul really being his sort of seminary instructor, the one who trained him in what he needed to be pastor, and then instrumental in him becoming the pastor. And so he's a young pastor, and this letter, not written by Timothy, but by Paul to him, they had been separated, and they were very close, Paul feeling a very close to him as his student and as someone he'd mentored, and vice versa, Timothy looking up to Paul. And this letter, perhaps the last one that Paul wrote, and asking Timothy to come back and to rejoin him in the work they're doing.
So how would you characterize the relationship that Paul and Timothy share?
I think it's a mentoring relationship, Paul being the mentor. It's two brothers in Christ who have a real care and concern and love for each other, a learning, a teacher-student relationship, and a co-working relationship, that they both were co-workers in the vineyard, both pastors, ministers of the gospel, sent out to proclaim the gospel, to preach the word to those who believe and to those who have yet to believe, calling them to repentance and faith.
Elsewhere, he will tell Timothy, from infancy you've known the scriptures. In the first part of the second letter that Paul writes to him,
yeah.
He does mention by name the women you mentioned before, Lois and Eunice,
mm-hmm.
and what they had been doing in Timothy's life by way of engendering him, what Paul calls a sincere faith.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? What's he talking about?
Well, that is parenting the way God has laid it out. You can go all the way back in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy, where we're instructed as parents to help children learn the Word of God, to write it on their hearts, to write it on their foreheads, to speak these things that God has given us, these words, as we walk down the street, to make it part of our everyday life and conversation. Deuteronomy gives us that, and all through Scripture we see examples of parents raising children in the faith. And this isn't parents dropping kids off at Sunday school and letting someone else do it, or Christian day school, but parents actively involved in imparting the faith, bearing the law to their children, being the law as parents under the fourth commandment, and also giving the gospel, the forgiveness, and teaching what those things are, teaching where our Savior and our salvation is, pointing children to Christ and bringing them first to the waters of baptism and then regularly to God's house to hear the word, to receive the gifts, but also at home in the family devotions as they approach children about their misbehavior and calling sin sin, and talking about what God expects and how God helps us and how God saves, forgives, and saves us. A whole lifelong raising a child in the family of God.
And Paul refers to Timothy there in the opening of that second letter as his beloved child. Let's talk about the spiritual father. I mean, there are the spiritual and physical connections that Timothy has with Eunice and Lois, but with Paul, it is spiritual fatherhood. How should we describe this?
Yeah, that's a wonderful relationship, and Paul is a spiritual father. He's someone that Timothy has been taught by someone who has taught him the Word, explained the Word, who has helped him see how the Word plays out in life and in the church. Someone he spent a lot of time with, and someone who he has prayed with and who has prayed for him. It's a close both physical, spiritual, social relationship here, not unlike when we send young men to the seminaries where they have professors who yes, stand in front of them in class, but also eat with them and talk with them on the sidewalks and invite them into their homes, all informing these young men to be the pastors that they one day will be. It's that kind of a relationship, and in that, there's a closeness and a bond that continues, and you know, all of the pastors I know refer lovingly and admiringly to seminary profs, specific ones who've had a significant influence on their formation as pastors. And I'm sure you can name a few yourself, Pastor Wilkin.
Well, I was going to ask you, we've only got a minute before the break, but I know who my spiritual fathers have been and are, and I'm very glad to include among them my own actual father, too, mm-hmm. although he's not a pastor, still a spiritual father. Who are yours, with less than a minute before we go to the break?
Oh, wow. My spiritual fathers were pastors, ones at significant points in my life, the one who confirmed me, professors at Concordia Chicago and Concordia Theological Seminary, Dr. Just, Richard Resch, Dr. Corby through his readings, many people who have God has used to really form and teach me, Professor Marquardt, took so many classes with him, and Stephen Hine. We all said we majored in hynology at Concordia River Forest. I took every class I could from that man.
She's basically putting together a list of some of issues, et cetera, as past and present best guests. Among them, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, certainly a spiritual sister. She can't be a father, but she's a spiritual sister. When we come back, more on teaching a Sunday school lesson. Timothy is taught. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Everyone's talking about the mission of the church. Is it possible to care more about evangelism than the evangel, the gospel? What's the relationship between the cross of Christ and the church's mission? And what can the Reformation teach us about the mission of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is Mission from the Cross. You can buy Mission from the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Mission from the Cross.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas, Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org, click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300. Well, according to the headline from the Associated Press, it says, Lutheran gay clergy proposal passes first hurdle. That's the latest from the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They're meeting as I speak. One of the decisions that they're trying to make over against the objection of many within and outside that church, is in favor of the full ordination recognition of gay and lesbian clergy. They appear to be on track to do it. We're going to spend the entire second hour of the program today on this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of August, reviewing some of the latest from that churchwide assembly by way of audio and getting your thoughts on the latest of the churches to either de facto or officially move toward the ordination of gay and lesbian pastors. And eventually, of course, it will be bishops, and this will be a mirror, at least in my opinion, of the Episcopal Church USA. We'll talk about that here in about 10 minutes on Issues Etc. Feel free to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Timothy chapter 2. We're dealing with just the first few verses of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. One of the things he says there to Timothy is it appears that Timothy might be, or at least Paul fears Timothy might be wavering a little bit or fearful of suffering. And he says to him in verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." What's that gift he's talking about?
Is that not the gift of God's grace from the Holy Spirit, this gift to be God's preacher, and that laying on of hands, that outward sign of what God has called him to be and to do, that the church recognizes him as a minister of the gospel, and the gift is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, his power through that Word of God that Timothy will preach and teach. And he probably, as a young man in that early church, as a young pastor looking at everything, perhaps was a little worried, a little timid about just how bold he could or should be. And Paul's words here, and they go on past what our lesson covers, to encourage him to not be ashamed of the testimony, not be ashamed of the gospel, and to speak boldly. And we know later he hits Timothy again with, "Don't let your youth be an excuse for not speaking boldly," as if maybe that was something Timothy said. "But I'm just young. I'm just new at this." And Paul really is pointing him to where his gift comes from, where his strength lies, where his ministry comes from. It's not his ministry. It's not his words that he'll preach. It is the Word of God, the saving Word of God that does what it says it will do, even as he speaks it to the lost and to those who have been forgiven and redeemed. So it's a real pep talk, one that comes with real truth and certainty for this young pastor.
Some, when they hear that phrase, fan into flame, I think it's natural for us to picture somehow, this is something we do to kind of get the spirit going, get our enthusiasm all screwed
That's
up.
Right.
And they think of it purely in terms of either kind of a mental or an emotional enthusiasm at work here. It strikes me that Paul must be talking about something far more than that trivial thing.
Yes, I think you're right. And Paul, in all of his writings, is so careful to point us away from ourselves, from our thinking, from our emotions, from our actions, and point us to where the power, where the fire, if you will, where the real thing is, and that is Christ Jesus, who is the Word of God. That is where this flame is, and that is fanned by being in the Word, by preaching the Word. It's all about God's Word. It's not about us. It's not about Timothy. And that's the gift. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work through you and I. He works through the Word. And we speak the Word, we teach the Word, we preach the Word. He works through the Word. And I think that's what Paul's talking about there. But that does often get confused, doesn't it, Pastor, with all kinds of thinking, what fan into flame means, and people often pointed to look inside themselves, to their own efforts, to their own devices, to make something happen in the church. And that's looking the wrong direction, I think.
You said before, early in our conversation, that just in these few verses we're looking at, there are a number of vocations, that is, callings, wherein God puts each of us, wherein God brings his word to us, delivers his word through us. Talk about the few that we find here in these verses.
Sure. You know, in these summer lessons, as we've been talking about callings all summer long and growing in Christ, about vocation. And this particular text, in just seven verses, we hear about a grandmother, a mother, we hear about a child, we hear about a spiritual father, we hear about a teacher, a student, a pastor. All of these things come out in these verses as Paul reminds Timothy who he is and where he came from and what his calling is, what his vocation now is as a pastor in the church. And, you know, for us to see that these callings are so, they're real, they're from God, they're important. And in a world, I think, just to zero in on the parenting vocation, in a world that really dismisses parenting as being not too significant, that, you know, our careers and our power jobs outside the home somehow are more significant, better, and worth casting aside our calling first as parents to raise children up in the way of the Lord. And you see evidence of this in society, that kids have been really not raised at all and not raised in the church certainly. Such an important calling, and one that is God-ordained. marriage and family were the first callings, not being the head of a company or having an important job in some office tower. And so that comes out here, and Paul affirms that, in that Timothy is who he is because God worked through the vocations of his mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and God worked through Paul, who was his teacher in the faith and his mentor. And God now will work through Timothy in his calling as a young pastor, as he preaches the word of God to those who need to hear it. So all of those things come out here. It's a wonderful seven verses to think about vocation. And when we speak of that, we're talking about our calling to serve our neighbor, to help our neighbor in his need, and specifically here in spiritual needs, as we talk about Timothy as pastor and parents passing on the faith through their raising of children. That's a spiritual need that neighbors have, and our neighbors could be our children or our grandchildren or someone that we're called to teach in Sunday school or in the church in a Bible class, or who are sitting in the pew listening to a pastor's sermon.
With only about 30 seconds here, Pam, next Tuesday we're going to discuss Titus, the pastor. What's in store for us next time we talk?
That's right. We're really going to focus on that vocation of pastor, and I think talk a bit about church work, professional church work as a vocation. And that really wraps up this summer of vocations and callings, and then we will be launching into the fall quarter of Old Testament stories in the first Sunday of September. So we've started again, you and I, at the end of a summer session, but we'll talk about Titus and the office of pastor next week.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ, you can find out all about it by calling Concordia Publishing House or order Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Growing in Christ. Pam, talk with you again next week.
Thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon.
And you as well. When we come back from this break, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. We're going to spend the entire hour hearing from some of the latest from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's churchwide assembly being held this week. I know that when large church bodies, and this is the largest of Lutheran church bodies in the U.S., get together, they decide a lot of things. They have all sorts of things that they talk about. The only thing that's making the headlines, and it is making the headlines already, even though they haven't made an official and final decision on it, is their discussion of gay clergy, gay and lesbian pastors. It's the big question in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I want to hear what you think about it on the other side of this break. During Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., it's Audio Open Lines. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us anytime. Questions and comments right here in the studio on the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and what appears to be a pretty definite move toward the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Audio Open Lines on the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's move toward gay clergy on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. Hour 2 in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.